right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are going to Disneyland. Not really, but we are going to watch and talk about Jungle Cruise, Disney's latest attempt at turning one of their rides into a live-action film. And I actually had a lot of fun with this movie. It's ridiculous and probably shouldn't work, but, you know, thanks to The Rock and Emily Blunt and just a whole bunch of fun stuff that happens in this movie, I had a blast. And joining me to talk about it is Chauncey Talese from LA Podfidential. We've been trying to get Chauncey on the podcast for a while now, and we have a great conversation lined up here. So before we get to that, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, and also over on Good Pods, which we've been kind of trying to promote lately. I don't know if anyone's listening on Good Pods, but if you are, let me know. I'd love to know that you are. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Check out our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus content and advanced content. I got stuff from Piecing It Together, from Awesome Movie Year, from my music career. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. I will actually be posting another conversation I had with Chauncey on M. Night Shyamalan's Old on there tomorrow. And then that will eventually hit the main Piecing It Together show feed when that movie hits VOD. But if you want to check it out now, it will be on the Patreon. So yeah, that about does it for the whole pre-show spiel. I feel like I'm the guy that tells you all the rules before you get on a ride at Disney or something like that. But anyway, let's get to the conversation about Jungle Cruise. All right, so we are going to talk about Disney's Jungle Cruise today. And with me is Chauncey Talese from LA Podfidential. Chauncey, how's it going?
It is fantastic. I'm glad we finally got to do this.
I know. We've been trying to get you on the show for a while now. And I don't know, this is such a ridiculous movie, but I had so much fun with it. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is your first time on the show. So why don't you tell our listeners a little about you and your podcast and what you do?
Well, I'm an NFL writer for LAFBnetwork.com. I cover the Los Angeles Rams, and my podcast centers around the Rams, the Chargers. We also talk superhero news, Dodgers, Lakers, and movie trailers and whatever is going on in pop culture. It's basically a grab bag of really fun stuff.
Yeah. You guys do quite a lot of different stuff, but all centered around entertaining things, it seems.
Exactly.
Like. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this movie is an entertaining thing, that's for sure. I mean, I didn't know going into this whether I was going to like it, to be honest. Like, I certainly got the, you know, classic old school adventure vibes that I knew that was the plan and what they were going for. And I like that. And I like the stars. I love, you know, who doesn't like The Rock at least a little bit, and Emily Blunt. But it just seemed like such a thin premise to make a movie about. But were you looking forward to this?
I kind of was. I'm like, you know what? It looks like they're trying to do The Mummy, except on a boat, and, you know, because Emily Blunt needs The Rock. He's like a rogue, and he also knows how to like find stuff. And I figured they would try to do some of the elements from the ride, which kind of make it in there in the beginning, and they just like don't really worry about it anymore. But I thought it was going to be a serviceable, fun time, and it was.
Are you a fan of the ride?
I am. Like it used to be one of my favorites to go on at Disneyland. There was always a super long wait, so you have to get there early. And if you had if you had the right tour guide, the jokes worked.
I'd love to do it with The Rock as the tour guide. That would be
He'd be very good at it.
I wonder how much they could charge for that.
Oh, I think he'd do it for free if they're just promoting the movie.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I'm down. I'll fight the insane crowds for that. That sounds like fun. But yeah, let's start getting into some puzzle pieces. We'll get into what worked and didn't work and just some of the fun stuff about this movie along the way. But what do you got for your first piece?
So I already mentioned my first piece is The Mummy. Like from the first trailer, I'm like, oh, okay, they're doing The Mummy. She's got a brother. She's a plucky but underappreciated you know, scientist. In the case of The Mummy, Rachel Weisz is, I believe, is the museum curator, but same deal. No one takes her seriously because it's early 1900s and she's a woman.
Sure.
And then she's got a very British, very flamboyant brother, much like in The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she meets The Rock, who's, you know, a more of a rogue, a very tough guy, kind of scraping by the seat of his pants.
Yep.
Like Rick O'Connell was kind of like an Indiana Jones. The Rock is a little bit less than that. He's before you get into the movie, he's kind of a crumb bum. He has a bootleg Jungle Cruise operation. He just tries to squeak by. He's got Paul Giamatti chasing after him. There's a lot of chases in the beginning, which the Mummy does a lot. And then you get into the supernatural element, which also dovetails with my other puzzle piece on it, but we'll get to that later. And then, of course, they're all trying to go after a treasure. In this case, it's a flower that can cure diseases.
Yeah, which that seems to be something, some like version of that seems to be the MacGuffin for like so many of these kinds of adventure movies. It's always mm-hmm. about finding that eternal life or unlimited power item somewhere deep in the wilderness.
That's the MacGuffin for Anaconda Blood Orchid too, like, or the Anaconda 2.
Yes.
Which they didn't even need, because they didn't even have a MacGuffin in the first one. It just, well, we're filming a documentary and there's an anaconda. But that element was there too. I'm like, oh, there's a tree. Just, it's like, oh, well, anaconda too. Just like that.
Yep. It's true. It's true. Well, you know what? Speaking of which, my first puzzle piece, Anaconda. I think just to kind of like piggyback right off the Mummy, because if you put these two movies together, you know, obviously all the things you were just talking about with the Mummy, the specific character archetypes that The Rock and Emily Blunt are kind of slipping into, and of course the big over the top villains, you know, our main one played by Jesse Plemons, but then also Paul Giamatti kind of as a fun one, but especially Jesse Plemons just going big and over the top, and he's so much fun to watch. Just like I'm drawing a blank on the actor's name right now, but the guy who plays, you know, the Mummy and the Mummy, he's so much fun to watch.
Arnold Bosler.
Yeah, yes, there you go. All these characters, they are such classic adventure movie characters, and I feel like Anaconda is one of those movies that maybe not everybody enjoyed quite as much as, I mean, everyone loved The Mummy at the time, it feels like. But mm-hmm. Anaconda, maybe not everybody, but I think the people who got it and got the kind of movie it was trying to be, just this, like, fun adventure that's kind of like a theme park ride and kind of just really plays into the silliness of what this kind of movie can be. All the double crossing, action adventure on a boat, action adventure outside of the boat and the river that it's going up, action adventure every time they dock the boat, you know, just all around those things, and just using its environment for like thrills and just a fun ride the whole time. But both of these movies, I think, are the main foundational puzzle pieces here. Although, of course, like we've already kind of in describing these movies, maybe spoke to a couple other puzzle pieces on the way, but I'm sure we'll get to those as we go.
That's true. Anaconda is a good call, because if you even want to go further, Jesse Plemons also doing an odd accent, much like John Voight's doing. I think, is he trying to be? He's trying to be from like Paraguay. And
no one knows where he's trying to be from. That's like the big secret of that
Paraguay
movie.
Paraguay or Uruguay? I'm like, okay, sure. I mean, Jesse Plemons' German is a lot better. Like, I understand that, yes, he's a German, but it's still a very silly accent.
Mm-hmm.
And a very just strange, he's a very strange villain, too.
Yeah, I'm also not sure if Prince Joachim, I don't know if that's a German name, is it?
Like, I was wondering about that. I'm like, are there any Joachims? I've never heard of a Joachim. Like, I'm,
doesn't
I,
seem like it.
I give them credit. I mean, they could have got that lazy and been like a Wilhelm or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, very strange performance, but he is just so much fun to watch.
Him and Giamatti are on that list of people that make everything they're in at least 5% better. No matter
Absolutely.
What.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and that might come up in one of my upcoming puzzle pieces, but let's go back to you, though. What do you got for your next piece?
This next one's also kind of obvious because it's of the Disney devolved Pirates. It wants to be Pirates of the Caribbean in a lot of ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the action. I was kind of watching it because it's very much, I'm like, oh, this is definitely the type of movie Ted Elliott and Elliott and Rossio would have written. Because I'm like, there's a lot of mm-hmm. Mask of Zorro elements and a lot of Pirates elements, too. Just in the way the action is staged. Very just like kind of ramshackle, try to figure it out as we go, but also very elaborate. Or at least tries to be elaborate. You know, like on Pirates, like we'd be fighting like running on a spinning wheel, or in Zorro mm-hmm. just kind of running while on like scaffolding and trying to and swinging off of things. And they do that a lot in the very beginning, at least when they're trying to get on the boat. kind of less so once they're in the jungle, but that element's still there. Especially, oh, actually, you know what? At the end too, when they're trying, they're all fighting on the sacred tree. A lot of like jumping on levels at different levels of branches. A lot of Rube Goldbergian type of elements too. So I'm like, yeah. Oh, and then of course you have the undead element or the cursed undead element.
Sure. Yeah, I would say all of these cursed characters, like the bee guy, yes. You know, that totally reminded me of like the squid faces and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely, it's taking its cues from that. I feel like
exactly. Except that my complaint though was like Verbinski was able to like really squeeze the weird out of it, and mm-hmm. I kind of wish they picked a villain more than anything, because like the bee stuff was fun, but like they didn't go further enough with it. Or even with Jesse Plemons talking to the bee, they could have gone further with it. Like Verbinski definitely would have like had that go on longer. And I get like what's the name of the director,
Kolesara. Not sure how you pronounce that.
Kolesara, like he's really good at doing like bee movie stuff, obviously, like The Shallows and the Train,
all those Liam Neeson movies.
Yeah, but I don't think he has that Verbinski level of like just being weird.
Yeah, I went into this actually thinking it was Gore Verbinski. For some reason, I thought that he directed this, and no. I didn't realize it until the credits came up. Like, oh wait, this wasn't.
I knew it was and it was the Shallows guy. I'm like, oh, that's cool, good for him, because he's also doing Black Adam at The Rock. I'm like, oh, it must have gone well. Yeah. Like, if The Rock wants to bring you along to his next project, which is how he got the job, for sure.
Right. No, absolutely.
But I wish they had just let the supernatural stuff be a little bit more fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that I still saw a lot of the pirates in it. They definitely needed a Jack Sparrow too, like The Rock. Like they needed like that wild card element, which is what makes the pirates things work. Is because there's all the chaos. There wasn't a lot of chaos.
Yeah, I could see that, and I feel like. I feel like they tried to spread that chaos around maybe a little bit too much, where The Rock never quite got to do that much, you know, really over the topness the way that a Jack Sparrow would, and neither did Emily Blunt, neither did her brother's character, McGregor, Jack Whitehall. Mm-hmm. Nobody really ever got to go there. It's a little bit more grounded overall, even though there are so much like crazy fantastical elements.
Exactly, and it's kind of a weird performance for The Rock, because he's done this the last few movies where he's like afraid to, like, he just wants to, it just seems like he just wants to be liked in everything, and that kind of hurts him. Like, I don't think he's done anything where he's tried to be, tried to stretch himself after, since Pain and Gain, I don't think. Like, it feels
like, I don't think so.
Like, the last time where it's like, oh, this is a very weird, interesting performance. Because in Pain and Gain, he's definitely a very strange, troubled person, but he doesn't want to go to that well anymore.
Surprisingly, I would say the closest thing would maybe be like Fast Five, like when he first got into those movies.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what Hobbs was in the beginning. He was a foil for Dom, and he was fun that way. He wanted to get him, but then they became friends for a movie and a half, and then The Rock didn't like each other anymore. But like for whatever reason, after Pain and Gain didn't do well, and I think there was one other Rock movie that underperformed that like he tried to push himself a little and it didn't work. So he's like, okay, I'm just going to play it safe.
Yeah. Wear khakis for every movie from here on out.
Yeah, so. That's true. I didn't think about that. And they pointed that out on the internet. I'm like, oh my God, hasn't he?
It's seriously like every movie. It really is true. I don't know. It's a choice. I guess it's a likable thing, maybe. I don't know.
It's probably just because it's more breathable, and like he is a man who generates a lot of heat because he's just all muscle.
He probably does. I would imagine so. I'll go to another piece here. And this one, I was kind of joking at first, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, actually... kind of, yeah. The Lost City of Z from James Gray.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a much more serious take on scientists requesting funds so they can forge an expedition into this secret area of a jungle and find some kind of, you know, thing that's going to bring some great breakthrough technological tree of life kind of thing. And, you know, it's super serious. Really great performances, a fantastic movie, beautifully done movie. I mean, I really like a lot of James Gray's stuff, but, you know, this kind of just takes that setup and goes off the rails. And while, we can point to things like The Mummy and Anaconda and the Pirates movies. I think that, you know, like we said, it never quite goes as silly as it could be. Like, it doesn't quite get like that Jack Sparrow-ness or anything like that. I think, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a groundedness here, but certainly not like a Lost City of Z. But I'm just saying they definitely are trying to make a movie that, you know, feels like an actual story somewhere within all this craziness.
Well, Velocity of Z, because the Velocity of Z does a lot of these scenes, the pitching in front of the, like, society for funding, and you get a lot of the harumph people. Yeah. A lot of harumph people, which the Velocity of Z has in spades. You know, they're always booing Charlie Hunnam when he's trying to, like, no, I found this place. No, that's ridiculous. Boo!
Yeah.
And, like, Jack Whitehall...
poppycock.
Yep, Jack Whitehall via Emily Blunt gets that a lot. So I'm like, that makes total sense. Like, yep, I can see where they saw Lost Cities. He's like, oh, we need a couple of harumph people. And then, of course, at the end, you know, it's, well, we don't need your society. Ha! And it's like, oh, well, I never. You have a lot of those. They found a lot of
good. I never.
They found a lot of really good offended Brits, which is always fun. A lot of good old stuffy stuffy Brits for them to just offend and just, like there was a couple of people fanning themselves. The pounding, the like, it was just perfect. Like, yep, Velocity of Z, I think, brought that back in a lot of ways.
Definitely. All right, so what do you have for your next piece?
I already alluded to Mask of Zorro. It definitely, again, just another Terry Elliot Ross joint. Aladdin 2, just a lot of that, of that element. You know, especially a lot of just jumping from place to place action. Looking, you know, she's trying to be worthy. He wants to redeem himself. Like, it seems very much in line with Zorro, because, like, that's sort of what the plot of Mask of Zorro is. He takes on the mantle only because he's trying to go accomplish another goal. And meanwhile, he's being a Jungle Cruise guy because he also has another goal, and that is trying to protect, you know, the flower from everybody else.
Sure. Yeah, but both of those movies just, like, kind of nonstop. Like,
that too, nonstop action. Like, there's not a whole lot of dull moments.
Yeah, no, those definitely fit. And I kind of liked Guy Ritchie's Aladdin a little bit. I was one of the few who kind of dug it a little bit.
And also, going with Guy Ritchie's Aladdin, very CG landscape.
Sure.
Like, that's the other thing that, like, Pirates had was, like, tactile, a lot more tactile sets. Like, sure. some of those was just glaring. Like, when they're in London, it's very glaring that it's like, oh, it's very green screen. Like, it was a little, like, when they're looking out the window, it's very distracting.
Well, I believe that's the future of entertainment we're looking at.
I know. It's just like, damn it. Because, like, you know, they would be, like, on the, they'd be outside, like, in their car, like, oh, I can kind of, like, this just looks wonky.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they already spent, like, $200 on it, so they might as well have had, like, a real soundstage, but, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, what do we know? We just watch these things.
Exactly. But,
you know, speaking of movies that do look amazing because things are practical and things are great, Indiana Jones movies cannot be left out of this conversation. Nope. Of course, that's what I was kind of hinting at with the backbone for things like The Mummy and Anaconda. I would say specifically a little bit of Temple of Doom and Raiders would be the main places to look, although really just in general, the Indiana Jones character and that style of storytelling. But, you know, you got Nazis, you got the big MacGuffins, you got these, like, historical based elements, but that are just played up and embellished to make them more exciting and more fun, and just kind of drag them into the world of adventure rather than just being a stuffy historical thing, which, you know, again, bringing back to Lost City of Z, feels so real, even though it's a work of fiction, whereas, you know, something like this is just pure pulp fun.
Right. And I think they even try to go a little, not much, obviously, because the story's very different, but African Queen, too. Obviously, that's one of the big comparisons, you know?
Sure.
Drunk loser on a taking a woman on a boat. That's basic premise.
Yeah.
Although that one was more religion based, but in her pursuit is more scientific, obviously. But that's a big crux of it. I'm like, okay, I see the look they're going for too.
And that's fun. You know, it's definitely fun to take a classic like that and just kind of, I don't know, bring it to a much broader mainstream, just silly fun story.
And even with With the going back to the Pirates element, just like they do kind of do like the sneaky stuff with, like, try to Jack Sparrow the rock a little, like, when he steals from Paul Giamatti, like that whole bit, just stealing the motor, and it's like, you know, what was his name, Frank, you know, just shaking
I
his
was
fist on
just gonna say
shaking his fist on the deck.
I have that written down. That's my favorite part of the whole movie, is Paul Giamatti outrunning a submarine and then screaming Frank.
Just super so sweaty funny. Very sweaty. Mosquito bitten. wearing a suit that's
great.
Even for the jungle is much too hot.
Oh yeah, he's just great. He just, oh, he looks so uncomfortable. He looks, that character just looks like he just hates it. But
it's like, why are you here?
He looks like he's having fun though.
He should be like in back in England or something. Like, what are you?
That's great. Well, I'll go to another piece then, and this one, we're kind of like continuing to fall into the same vein, because this is all just in that adventure movie tradition. But I'm going to actually go to a video game series with the Uncharted series.
Okay.
I feel like it kind of takes that same Indiana Jones thing, maybe a little Tomb Raider, you know, all that stuff, the same kind of elements. But I feel like this is a pretty good connection there, you know, mainly because in a weird way, I guess Nathan Drake would more be the Emily Blunt character, and The Rock with his dad jokes would then be Sully, the father figure character. And you know, they definitely have a really fun rapport, the two of them, and he is just so corny with his jokes, which between that and the khakis, I guess it just speaks to what he's trying to put out there into the world. You know, the Rock brand, which is very much what he is now, is just a brand rather than a human being that's out there acting in movies.
Well, he doesn't sleep,
He does not. No, definitely not. Just work out, social media, and making movies. Making like big, gigantic action movies.
I swear he must shoot like three scenes from three different movies a day, plus do stuff for the Young Rock, plus do stuff for the first tequila company. And like, I see all those projects he has. Like, how do you have the time? Like, you must be a vampire.
Yeah, either a vampire. Or I guess he saves time by not changing his outfit. So
that's true.
That helps a little
all
bit.
All they do is kind of swap the shirt. They just have him flex, rip the other shirt, and just put on another shirt.
I'd also say with Uncharted, I don't remember which one. I want to say it was the fourth one, but you get like the character introduction via stealing an artifact from an art collector, which probably happened in maybe The Mummy, I want to say, as well. But, you know, I just remembered it as being something from the Uncharted games, where that's exactly how we're meeting Emily Blunt's character, is through her big, you know, set piece of stealing this artifact from an art collector.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. That's a good ball. I mean, I never played the Uncharted. I just know that's a movie that, like, will never actually come out. It's one of those.
Right, and that's true.
Like,
probably for the
they
best.
They threaten it every once in a while, and it's one of those, like, until it's actually in theaters playing in front of you, even then you're still waiting for it to go, well, scene missing, or, oh, we only shot the first act.
Oh, yeah. I will be shocked when that happens one day. Tom Holland will actually be old enough to play Sully by the time that comes out, but that's a terrible joke on my part.
Ah.
Why don't we move on to your next puzzle piece?
It's a small puzzle piece just because there's the jungle adventure element, but Treasure of the Sierra Madre a little bit, like a hint, like a splash. Like, clearly when they were doing like the rounds for it, they had to have brought that up. Like, when director's like, no, I'm doing Kong as Apocalypse Now. Like no, we're doing Treasure of the Sierra Madre or African Queen, but with, you know, Disney. With a hint of Disney magic. Because definitely just traversing through the jungle. Running past various people, all for a quest. Like, a lot of the adventure tropes are all there. Like, they're really mining from all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It digs back to again to that tradition of just those big adventures. And yeah, I mean, this is just it just seems so ridiculous to say, but the based on a Disney ride version of that.
It's not that weird though, because like pirate. I mean, it was weird, but when Pirates came out, like, okay, you can do this. Like, it's possible.
Yeah,
and they've tried to do Haunted Mansion. They're trying again because they got the one. It's what Lakeith Stanfield and Tiffany Haddish, as far as I know, that's the newest one.
Right, right.
They've been trying to make Haunted Mansion happen for a while. They're probably gonna try to do Space Mountain and Matterhorn and Venom.
I would
Road.
Imagine that's next. Yeah.
Yep. Like,
it's gonna happen, I guess.
I mean, you know, Matterhorn would make a pretty sweet movie. Like, there's a lot to mine there. It's a monster movie.
Yeah, I'm always down for monster movies, that's for
exactly. sure. Exactly. You have a big Yeti with like red eyes, and you can have them like, well, we need to climb for the abyss. There's an easy MacGuffin you could have there. Or there even just a, I want my simple fortune and glory, you stumble upon a Yeti. Easy.
It definitely works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have two left, but they're both very small ones, so I'm going to kind of just combine them, and they're each based off of specific characters.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock's character being the worst cruise in the jungle reminded me a little bit of Captain Whack, Martin Lawrence from The Beach Bum, which just such a fun character. Just this lame tour guide who is just filled with jokes and is just a total sham. So I just thought of him, and I love that character so much. And then speaking of Paul Giamatti, I thought of how really he is the only thing that makes The Amazing Spider-Man 2 worthwhile with his Rhino character. That is one of the worst movies I've seen in probably the last decade, but he is so much fun in that movie. He's just ridiculous. He's the one person in the movie who knows that the movie is really bad ahead of time. Here, he's in a fun movie, and he's still having a great time.
Nice. That's a good one.
Do you have any pieces left?
I got one more. It's slight, all but right. Tangled, because The Rock's character is a little Flynn Ridery in that, you know, he's very brash, very a lot of braggadocio, wants money, or says he just wants money, but really he's just lonely. I mean, it's a basic archetype, but he's very lonely when you find out it's because he's been alive for like 400 years and he can't leave the jungle. Or is Flynn just, well, he's just an orphan. But same kind of thing. This like, oh, like, especially the way like they try to, they antagonize each other. And he's like very much like, I don't want to be around. I keep trying to get her to quit at every moment. And she just doesn't. And he's like, oh, okay. And then they end up falling in love, which I thought was a very strange choice.
Yeah. Chemistry completely unnecessary.
Okay. Yeah. Their chemistry didn't speak to that. I'm like, I could buy them as friends for sure, but I don't like, oh, I hope they end up together. Like, I don't care. You know, let her show him like London, but not like, oh, well, now we're married and we're living with our brother.
Which is pretty much where it would end up.
Wait, I had one other small one, because there's a bit that they do in the movie. I'm like, oh, Spaceballs, when they're bringing down Jack Whitehall's luggage.
Oh, I thought of that too. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's her Royal Highness's matched luggage.
I totally thought of that in the theater. Oh, it's, and I forgot to write it down.
It's my dinnerware, and I can't survive without it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's the same thing as the hairdryer. Oh, perfect.
Amazing. That rules. That's a great piece to go out on here. I love it. I'm going to go ahead and do the finished puzzle, then we'll get into any closing thoughts we have. We talked about The Mummy, Anaconda, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Lost City of Z, The Mask of Zorro, Aladdin, Indiana Jones, African Queen, Uncharted, Treasure of the Sierra Madre, The Beach Bum, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Tangled, and Spaceballs. You know, of course, adventure movies, the main thing. I mean, I feel like this is a thing that happens whenever I do an episode of Piecing It Together on an adventure movie, it seems to kind of almost cannibalize itself within the genre. Like you get you're always going to get Indiana Jones. You're always going to get The Mummy in there. You know, you're going to get some of these movies, but it's part of what makes the genre fun and maybe part of why we don't get these movies that often.
Right. No, I know. Well, then there isn't like a lot of demand for it. Cause like when Indiana Jones was big, a lot of people grew up on adventure movies. That's why Spielberg and Lucas made it too. Like, well, we had adventure serials, but then if people go, oh, I remember adventure movie, like swashbuckling heroes from the 40s, but you don't really have that anymore.
Like, right.
Because I think most executives kind of froze in amber in the 80s and just kind of forgot, like, what made the 80s work.
Sure.
Like, you know, there isn't the whole push to have, like, newer source material.
Right. Well, I mean, and plus, you know, comics, that's all it is, comic books,
right? But even then they're drawing from stuff too.
Yeah,
like a lot of them are genre exercises. Like Captain America First Avenger is a genre exercise. It's a 40s war movie.
Yeah. You know, a quick question, I've seen a lot of people complaining about the CGI in this movie. Generally, I'm not someone who complains. If I enjoy the rest of the movie, CGI isn't going to hurt it for me. Did you think the CGI was bad? I mean, we kind of touched on it briefly while talking about the bad guys.
Sometimes, like when the snake bad guy, I'm like, okay, well, you know, like I didn't mind like the sub. I'm like, well, obviously it's gonna be a big CGI sub. Like it doesn't look as bad as like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, or like right. that, like that stuff is very chintzy. But like yeah. I'm like, oh, like it sometimes it was a little like the snakes did like look just look super computery after a while, but that's okay. I'm like, that's kind of, I get it. Like, what are you gonna do? But yeah. sometimes just like the backgrounds, like I wish they had like filmed more in real, a little bit more in real locations at least.
Sure.
Like the dock where like the all the boats are, I know it was real because I've seen that the same Regal thing like 500 times with them like zip lining down and all that.
Right, right.
But I wish they had like filmed. I don't know. Like this would have, like I know I don't know when they filmed it. Well, no. They'd filmed it before COVID, I think.
Yeah, because this was supposed to come out last year. Right?
Yeah, last July. So I would have liked to see them try maybe filming a little more in like Hawaii or something. Like just sure. so I feel a little, it feels a little bit more lived in rather than like, oh, you're on like a soundstage and it's like Jungle Book.
Right, right.
Which I'm proud exactly. of myself. I thought I was going to call this movie Jungle Book like five times. And I kept doing that like all weekend. Like, oh yeah, I saw Jungle Book. No, Jungle Cruise, Cruise, Cruise.
I've literally called this Jungle Book a dozen times. I tweeted my little review of it as Jungle Book and then deleted it, I think maybe before anyone saw it, but it happens. What are you going to do? Do you have any other closing thoughts on this before we wrap it up?
I just am really loving the Jesse Plemons just playing the heavy in movies stage of things.
Yes.
Especially when he can, because his character reminded me a lot of his character in like Game Night, where he just like, just his energy is hilarious.
Yes.
Like he understands what's funny about himself and just knows how, yeah. just knows how to, just the way he stands, the way he shifts his weight. And mm-hmm. even like in his uniform, I'm like, oh, he's, you know, he's a much bigger presence because like, I've had a season passes on Jesse Plemons and his Friday Night Lights. And it's been very strange to see how he ages, how he's aged.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely gotten, you know, he's become a bigger person. And especially in mm-hmm. Jungle Book, you notice that because the uniform is very tight. But he understands what's very weird about himself and he knows how to use his body just to get a laugh. Like even just cocking his eyebrow strange is funny.
Right. Yeah,
just him talking to the bee is funny.
Yeah,
and that was great. Him and Giamatti like know what movie they're in. Like,
yes.
They're 100% locked in. Like, okay, like I understand the level I need to bring, and they totally bring it.
Yeah, and I feel like to a degree, you could say that about the heroes of the movie as well.
Yeah,
I think The Rock gets it. I think Emily Blunt gets it. Maybe less so than The Rock, but I think she's still having a blast with it.
Oh no, she's dialed in too. Like she's not supposed to be funny. Like that's mm-hmm. like she like doesn't like his dad jokes. I'm like, oh, she's gonna pop one off eventually. Like it's gonna happen.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So he rubs off on her. So she played her part perfectly. I wish they had gotten more. And it's not his fault because they just didn't give him anything to do. But the actor who played the main the snake guy, I forget his name. But I'm like, I kind of wish
right.
they'd gotten a little more out of those guys. But I get it. And the person who they had, the lady they had played Trader Sam was good too. I like that sequence. Like that was a cute spin on the ride.
Sure.
You know, a lot of stuff they have to kind of skirt with that ride is because the ride itself has been redone too. Because, yeah, you know, yeah. a lot of yesterday stuff.
Yes.
So they had a really good spin on Trader Sam. But... like, that's a very smart move. Like, she's mm-hmm. also kind of a swindler herself. And like they're in on it.
I feel like the last thing we should talk about briefly before we wrap it up actually is why is Metallica's Nothing Else Matters in this movie?
That's I was wondering about that. Like I've like did I imagine I don't know. I keep thinking, oh, maybe I meant it was like a Mandela effect, like where I thought it happened. Like, wait, that is weird.
It's a big orchestral version of Nothing Else Matters that opens the movie and then comes back again later.
That's, I know. I'm like, that's a cool choice, but like it's a more successful version because they don't overdo it. Like they do in like, say, Pan, or like they have,
sure.
they have a Ramones song and they do Smells Like Teen Spirit and then like they totally drop that element. It's like, that was weird. Like, I don't
yeah,
know. I would have either liked them to do something, like maybe something else too, or I don't know. Like, it seems like it didn't know exactly how weird and fun it wanted to be. It just wanted to be a good ride, which is what it succeeded
yeah.
at. But yeah, that was very
Definitely.
Strange. Like, I'm like, huh, is that Metallica?
Very strange. But yeah, I mean, I got a kick out of it though. So, I mean, hey, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun as it is. But yeah, I think that does it for Jungle Cruise. Chauncey, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Let's see. I saw Werewolves Within. I VOD'd that one. That's
sure.
a very fun movie. Like I was like, oh, yeah. I was very surprised. Like I saw people online talking about it, and I got burnt by that before. Like I wasn't a huge Damn it, what's it called? Machine Gun Milkshake?
Gunpowder Milkshake.
Gunpowder, there we go. I keep getting, I see, that's another, there's a whole genre of those, like Guns Akimbo too. I keep getting those mixed up, but I didn't like that one. So I'm like, maybe the internet will lie to me, but nope. Werewolves Within, delightful movie.
Everybody loves that movie. I honestly didn't love it. Everybody else does though. I'm like the only one.
No, I get it. Like I get it. Cause like I just was unexpected. I didn't know what it was when I rented it. I'm like, all right, so I was just pleasantly surprised, like, oh, I see what you're doing. This is a very clever werewolf movie. And I liked everybody in it. It was a lot of, oh, hey, that guy. Like, oh, you have Guillermo for What We Do in the Shadows. Oh, the AT&T lady. Oh, Sam Richardson. I like Sam Richardson. Oh, Michaela Watkins.
AT&T lady was good in it.
I know. Like, you know, especially when you get to the end. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, she was the bad guy. That's very neat.
Yeah.
I liked Nobody a lot too. Right. That was cool.
Oh yeah, Nobody rules.
Like it's one of those. Like I kept wanting to. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna wait for the perfect time, and then 2 weeks ago, I just knocked it out. I'm like, wow, this movie rules. Like
hell yeah.
You know,
that's great.
Where was this Odenkirk my whole life?
Yeah, seriously. We got him now, and thankfully he's okay after the little scare we all had last week.
I know that was very. I was unpleasant. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for this yet. No, he needs to finish Saul, and B, like he has so much more career left.
We've all been through enough lately. We don't need that. Well, Chauncey, this was great. Why don't you tell people again where they can find you and your podcast?
You can find LA Podfidential anywhere you can download your podcast, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. You can also read my LA Rams pieces on LAFBnetwork.com. And I'm on Twitter at BigChaunce64.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for doing the show. I'm glad we finally were able to get you on.
I know. And you need to come on mine. We got to preview fall movies.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Welcome to the podcast that wouldn't die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
What up? What up?
Each week, we'll explore the classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a little comedic twist.
We will ask those important questions like, why don't they get out of the haunted house the first time they see the ghost or the demon?
Why do people feel like, hey, there's been a spooky disappearance, but I'm going to investigate myself, even though I have no investigative background?
Or why didn't I realize I was dead the whole time?
These important questions and many others we will get to the bottom of. So check us out each week at the podcast that wouldn't die.
Be there or be square.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Jungle Cruise. Thanks to Chauncey for joining me on that one. Make sure to check out LA Podfidential. And look forward to Chauncey joining me again. We actually already recorded our next episode. It is on Old, and you can check it out now on the Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon that combines bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and my music career. Lots of great stuff over there on the Patreon. Of course, Old, the episode, will eventually hit the main feed. I'm going to release it when the movie hits VOD, but you could check it out now if you'd like, and we do appreciate the support. But there are plenty of other ways to support the show. Share the show. That's like the best. Just share this podcast with your friends. Share it on social media. Share it wherever you share stuff. Of course, you could also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser and over on Good Pods. You can subscribe wherever it is you're listening. I mean, if you're listening right now and you're not actually subscribed, do that. That helps. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And that's the stuff you could do if you like what we're doing here. And of course, you know, just get in touch. I love to hear from people about what they think of the show. If we missed any big puzzle pieces, what we could be doing better, what you love about it, you know, all of it. I just love to hear from people. And of course, if you'd like to join me for an episode one of these days, get in touch about that too. Or have me on your podcast, get in touch about that too. Anyway, let's wrap this thing up with a piece of music like I always do. And I was trying to think of something adventurous for this adventure movie. And I don't know if I've ever played this before. Maybe at some point. But, you know, in between albums, I used to release these free bonus albums on my Bandcamp profile, which are still there at davidrosen.bandcamp.com. All my main albums are there for sale. But also there are three free albums of bonus tracks, remixes, and stuff that just didn't make the main albums. This is a track from one of those free bonus albums. The album is called Another Sky. The track is called The Garden. And it's a cool track. It's a cool album. It is free on my Bandcamp, so you should just go download it and maybe check out the other albums while you're at it. But yeah, I hope you enjoy this track. It's called The Garden. And holy crap, I can't believe I did not realize this until just now. But my latest album, David Rosen, also has a song called The Garden. I don't know how I made that mistake. I just blew my mind here a little bit, guys. This is something you guys don't need to know about. This is kind of a rambling end of episode thing, but wow, I can't believe I named two of my songs The Garden. That's insane. I mean, the title fits both of them, so whatever. It is what it is. Do any big name artists have two songs with the same title? I wonder, huh? Well, I'm going to go get real mad at myself for doing that. But anyway, I hope you enjoy The Garden, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up real soon.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.